بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We are reading from the kitab concerning aqaid and beliefs in all the things which we have to have correct belief in. From the beginning of the month, the different aqaid concerning the fundamentals of deen had been explained. It is of utmost importance that we make sure that our aqaid concerning all the things of deen are correct, because it is on the soundness and on the correctness of our aqaid that everything else depends on. A person might have the beliefs of all the fundamentals of deen, but a flaw in just in one of them, and that could render that person's iman to be completely not recognized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, such kitabs which are read, where the aqaid are explained, it is very important that we study these kitabs and make sure that our aqaids are also correct. We continue. Today's topic is istihza and istighfaf. Istihza means to jest or mock any belief, teaching, concept or advice of Islam. And the other word, istighfaf, which is also called istihana, it means to regard lightly or insignificant any affair, teaching, belief of the Sharia. In the kitab, the famous kitab of belief, Sharhul Aqaid, the following is mentioned. That istihana, which was just explained now, to regard the teachings of Islam or the beliefs of Sharia to be very light and insignificant. So istihana is kufr, it is this belief. And istihza, where a person mocks at or jests at any teaching of Islam, istihza of the Sharia is also kufr, because these are signs of rejection of Islam. It is similarly kufr if a person laughs with pleasure at a statement of kufr made by another person. I'll repeat that. It is similarly kufr if a person laughs with pleasure at a statement of kufr made by another person. Every teaching, belief and attitude of Islam is linked with Allah Ta'ala. Hence the beliefs, practices, teachings, places and personalities of Islam are all objects of honor and respect. The slightest amount of disrespect is intolerable. Some people mock and jest with the beard, the miswak, the sunnah method of eating and dressing. Some will find fault in taqdeer. Some will brand Islamic ways as outdated and incompatible with the times. Some make a mockery of the ahadith and the authoritative tafsir, which is the explanation of the Quran and Majid. By doing so, one destroys his iman. The next topic is shirk. The literal meaning of shirk is to ascribe partners. In terms of the Sharia, to associate another as a partner with Allah Ta'ala in his exclusive attributes, his will, his obedience, his being, and to hold anyone equal to Allah Ta'ala is termed as shirk. Just to make us understand again, shirk is not only to ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also to associate another as a partner to Allah ta'ala in his exclusive attributes, that is his sifat, his will, his obedience and his being, and to hold anyone equal to Allah ta'ala in any way whatsoever is termed as shirk. Some types of shirk. One is shirk in Allah ta'ala's being. To hold somebody equal to the being of Allah Ta'ala. For example, the Christian belief of Trinity, idol worship of the Hindus and Buddhists, and worship of ancestors. This is all from the first type of shirk, which is the shirk in the dhat, in the being of Allah Ta'ala. Number two, shirk in his attributes. To state that special servants of Allah Ta'ala, for example, a Nabi or a Wali, share Allah Ta'ala's exclusive attributes. So this is also a type of shirk. And this type can be again understood that this can also be of many types, the second type. One is, for example, shirk in the knowledge. The attribute of knowledge, that is the exclusive attribute of Allah Ta'ala to be all-knowing. to ascribe this attribute in any way to a human being by saying, for example, our Shaykh has knowledge of all our deeds and actions, or the Anbiya alayhimu salam and the martyrs possess the complete knowledge of ghaib, which is the unseen, is also shirk. The knowledge of many unseen things and events, for example, angels, Jahannam and Jannat, etc., have been conveyed or granted to the Anbiya alayhimu salam by Allah Ta'ala. Complete and intrinsic knowledge of the knowledge of the ghaib, of the unseen, is not the attribute of any created being. Another type of shirk fi sifat, shirk in the attributes of Allah Ta'ala, is shirk in power. To believe that a created being, for example a Nabi or a Shaykh, etc., has the power of giving life and death, or he can cause good or bad to happen. Hence to believe that a certain Shaykh has the power to fulfill one's needs, or has the power to give sustenance, etc., is all termed as shirk. The third type of the shirk fi sifat, shirk in the attributes of Allah Ta'ala, is shirk in hearing and seeing. To believe that just as Allah Ta'ala is all hearing and all seeing, similarly our Shaykh or a Nabi can also hear and see all our actions, no matter how far or near they are. This is also a type of a shirk. And the fourth type mentioned here is shirk in worship. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being worthy of worship. Performing those actions for anyone else, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded his servants to do in his honor, is shirk. For example, salat, fasting, qurbani, bowing or prostrating before living saints or their graves, making tawaf of graves, back-trotting away from the graves in show of excessive veneration, respect for the grave, or to call unto anyone besides Allah Ta'ala, and to believe that the one called from far has the power to harm and benefit, or to take an oath in the name of anyone besides Allah Ta'ala, or to photograph somebody and show respect to that photograph. These and many similar other types of acts are all acts of shirk. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from all this. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 24th para was recited. The first quarter of the 24th para is the completion of Suratul Zumar, followed then by Suratul Mu'min, and then by Surah Hamim As-Sajda. It has been mentioned over and over again that those surahs, which are the Makki surahs, and all these surahs which were recited last night, are all the Makki surahs revealed before the Hijrah, and the subject matter generally in all these surahs are the fundamentals of deen, particularly the Aqeedah of Tawheed and the Aqeedah of the year after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these surahs also expounds these fundamentals in different ways, and the wrong beliefs and ways of the kuffar and the mushrikeen and their stubborn statements which deny the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all these are also refuted in different ways in these surahs. A translation and a brief explanation of a few ayahs in this regard will be given. فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ The first ayat of the 24th para, Allah ta'ala says that who can be a greater oppressor, a greater wrongdoer than the one who forges a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who claims that Allah ta'ala has partners or Allah ta'ala has offspring, as these mushrikeen claim that the angels are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says there can be no greater oppressor and wrongdoer than such a person. The word zulm in the Arabic language, which has been mentioned, the meaning of it is literally that wad'u shay fi ghayri mahallihi, to put something not in its correct place. Here, ibadat and worship is supposed to be exclusive only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anyone who does contrary to that, it is a great form of oppression. Allah ta'ala mentions also in the Quran Majid, inna shirka la zulmun azim, that shirk, to ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a great oppression. So who can be a greater oppressor, wrongdoer, than the one who forges a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rejects the truth when it has come to him? the truth which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed, the words of Allah Ta'ala in the form of the Quran Majid and the Hadith, anyone who rejects that, when it comes to him, there can be no greater wrongdoer and oppressor than such a person. Allah Ta'ala says, is not Jahannam the abode for such kafirs? Definitely, this is the abode. Jahannam is the abode for the kuffar. Allah Ta'ala consoles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further, that these people who threaten you with their idols, if now you don't stop speaking ill of them and rejecting them, they will harm you. Allah Ta'ala says that you don't have to worry. Alayhi sallahu bikafin abda. Is Allah Ta'ala not sufficient for his banda, for his bondsman, referring to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah Ta'ala mentions that we are sufficient for you, and we are your protector and assister in all conditions. These idols and those that these people ascribe as partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala mentions they cannot effect any type of good or harm, because Allah Ta'ala says that person whom Allah Ta'ala leads astray, there can be no guide for him. And that person whom Allah Ta'ala guides, nobody can lead him astray. These mushrikeen, when they are even asked that who is the creator of these great creations of the sky and the earth, they also acknowledge that it is only Allah Ta'ala. Although they ascribe partners to Allah Ta'ala very forcefully, but yet at this time also they acknowledge that their idols have no share in the creation of all these great creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me that those whom you call to besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah Ta'ala wishes that a harm, adversity must afflict me, is there any one of them who can avert that harm from reaching me? Or if Allah Ta'ala wishes to shower me with His mercy, is there anybody to stop that mercy of Allah Ta'ala reaching me? Qul, tell them, Hasbi Allah, Allah Ta'ala is sufficient for me, and only on Allah Ta'ala should the people place their trust. Further on, Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, I'malu ala makanatikum, that continue doing in your place what you are doing if you don't want to accept the message of Haq. I will also continue doing what I am doing, but very shortly all of you will know that on whom that punishment of disgrace and eternal punishment will befall. Very shortly you will come to know. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of His great quality, that Allah Ta'ala alone is in control of each and everything in this entire universe. Allah Ta'ala gives the example of what we experience every day. Every person goes to sleep, and sleep has been called an-nawmu akhul maut, the brother of death. That a person who is asleep, particularly a person who is in a deep sleep, is like a corpse, only thing he is breathing. But just like a dead person, completely unaware of his surroundings. Allah Ta'ala says that Allah Ta'ala is the one who raises your souls when at the time of your death. And those who are not due to die, Allah Ta'ala also raises their souls in their sleeps. Fi manamiha, in their sleep. And then Allah Ta'ala says, we withhold those souls upon whom the decree of death had been ordered. We withhold them. And we release the other souls till an appointed time. So when we go to sleep, we should also contemplate and reflect that this is also a type of a death. If Allah wills, He can withhold my soul and I will not get up again alive. This could be by my last moments. But if Allah Ta'ala wills, Allah Ta'ala will release the souls till an appointed time. Allah Ta'ala says in all this, there are great signs for those people who contemplate and ponder. One of the claims of the mushrikeen was that these idols and those that they ascribe partners to Allah Ta'ala, they will intercede for them on the day of Qiyamah by Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala refutes this claim that these idols who have no power over anything and they cannot understand anything, how can they ever be intercessors for anybody? Allah Ta'ala says, Qul, tell them, Lillahi shafa'atu jami'ah, that all intercession belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. All intercession is subject to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for whom Allah Ta'ala gives permission to. Only He can intercede, and only they will be able to intercede for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives permission also. Allah Ta'ala mentions the condition of these mushrikeen, that when the one Allah Ta'ala is mentioned to them, their hearts contract, They are filled with disgust and dislike because they don't have the aqeedah and the belief of the hereafter. But when mention is made of those besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, suddenly you see them that they are filled with joy and rejoice because they regard other deities to be partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah ta'ala mentions when that Allah will decide amongst everybody on the day of Qiyamah, then it is at that time that these mushrikeen will realize the error of the ways. And at that time they will have that desire that if they somehow they must ransom themselves and free themselves from the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, even if they were the owner of the entire world and double whatever in this world, and they try to ransom themselves from the punishment of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, they will not be able to do so. Then Allah Ta'ala mentions the great general condition of ingratitude amongst men, that when man is afflicted with difficult conditions and adversity, Allah Ta'ala says, da'ana, then they call us, they call unto Allah Ta'ala. But then Allah Ta'ala says, when we confer a bounty upon them from our side, then suddenly they say, innama utituhu ala ilm, that what I have been granted is because of my knowledge, because of my skills and talents and expertise. That's why I accumulated and gathered so much of this universe. Allah Ta'ala says, bal hiya fitnatun. Nay, instead it is a test for people. That Allah Ta'ala opens the doors of sustenance and rosy for people. It is actually a test for people whether they turn in gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become obedient to him, or they remain haughty and arrogant and they regard these things to be because of their own doings. Allah Ta'ala says these were the statements which were made by the people of before also, and it did not avail to them in the least but whatever they did. Allah Ta'ala then reminds everybody that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of rozi and sustenance, that Allah Ta'ala increases, expands rozi for whomsoever he wishes, and Allah Ta'ala straightens and restricts and decreases the rozi for anybody else. So increase and decrease in sustenance is according to the wisdom and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not according to our abilities and capabilities. So many people we hear that in the educational field, they were hardly successful in any way, but Allah Ta'ala opened the doors of sustenance for them in such a way that great, great intellectuals and philosophers are languishing in poverty and hardly they have anything with them. So this indicates that intelligence and aql and understanding are not the criteria for getting more wealth or decrease in wealth. Further on, the third ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an ayat of the Qur'an Majeed, which Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu mentions, that this ayat, there is no other ayat in the Qur'an Majeed, which instills so much hope in a sinner than this ayat, wherein Allah ta'ala says, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell my bondsmen, that, O my bondsmen, those who have transgressed their souls, they don't despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how great a sinner a person might be, as long as he did not die on kufr and shirk, the doors of Allah ta'ala's mercy are wide open for such a person. The amount of sins a person might commit, he can never exhaust the unlimited mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah ta'ala forgives all sins. Only thing what is required is mentioned in the verse, in the next verse, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Turn towards your Rabb. Turn to Allah ta'ala in repentance. Make tawbah, sincere tawbah with all his conditions. And Allah ta'ala has promised that Allah ta'ala will forgive you. وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابِ. And surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, surrender yourself and become completely obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, before a punishment will afflict you, and then you will not be assisted or helped in the least bit. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some of the scenes of the day of Qiyamah, when the trumpet will be blown, the first trumpet where everything will perish, and then the second trumpet where everything will be revived again. Allah ta'ala says, after the second trumpet will be blown, people will stand up from the graves, and they will be looking around what is happening, and the earth will be illuminated with the light of your Rabb, and the kitab, referring to the book of deeds, will be placed. The Anbiya and the Shuhada will be brought to testify against those people who rejected that the Anbiya alayhi musallam had conveyed the message to them. And Allah Ta'ala says that then with full justice Allah Ta'ala will make decisions and people will not be wronged in the least, but every soul will be recompensated in full for whatever he did. And Allah Ta'ala is well aware of what people do. The last ruku of Surah Az-Zumar, Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning the kuffar, the disbelievers, and then the mu'mineen. The disbelievers, how will they will be driven towards Jahannam in groups and groups, in groups and groups, in disgrace and humiliation, and how the mu'mineen will then be taken to Jannat also in groups, and with what honor and dignity Allah Ta'ala will enter them into Jahannam, into Jannat. All that has been mentioned here. The next surah is Suratul Mu'min. This surah is also called Suratul Ghafir. Ghafir because of the second verse, where Allah Ta'ala's attribute of Ghafir Dham has been mentioned, that Allah Ta'ala is the forgiver of all sins. Concerning the first three verses of the surah, Hameem, Tanzeelul Kitabi Minallahi Al-Azizil Alim, غافر الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير. Concerning these three verses, Allah Subhanahu Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned in the hadith that the one who recites every morning and evening Ayatul Kursi, which appears in the third para, and these three verses, Allah Ta'ala will keep him safe and protected from all types of difficulties and calamities. If he recites it in the morning till the evening, he will remain protected. If he recites it in the evening with Ayatul Kursi, these three verses, he will remain protected. And we should recite this every morning and evening. In these verses, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions the great honor of the Quran Majeed, that it is a kitab revealed by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala himself, who is most powerful, all-powerful and all-knowing. Allah Ta'ala is the one who forgives sins. Allah Ta'ala is the one who accepts the repentance of everyone. Allah Ta'ala is severe in punishment. And Allah Ta'ala is all powerful. There is no deity but Allah Ta'ala. And to Allah Ta'ala is the ultimate return. Further on, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala then mentions the great honor and the great position of the mu'mineen. That even the angels who are carrying the arsh of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, they also and the angels that are around them, who are constantly engaged in the glorifying Allah Ta'ala and praising Allah Ta'ala, they also make istighfar and ask forgiveness on behalf of the mu'mineen. So what a great honor is for the mu'mineen, that even those very close angels of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, they also make istighfar and make dua for the mu'mineen. They make this dua that, O Allah Ta'ala, your mercy and your knowledge is encompassing everything. Forgive those that make tawbah. Those that make tawbah, for them particularly also, they make dua. And those that follow your way, O Allah Ta'ala, forgive them and protect and save them from the punishment of Jahannam. They continue making this dua that, O Allah Ta'ala, enter them into everlasting gardens, which we have promised them. And also those that are righteous from their fathers and their spouses and their children. Verily, you are most powerful and all wise. And protect them and save them from evil conditions. O Allah Ta'ala, that person who we saved from evil on that day, on the day of Qiyamah, most definitely you have showered him with your mercy. And this is the great success. So this is the dua which the angels who are carrying the throne of Allah Ta'ala also, they make dua for people of Iman, particularly for those who also repent and turn to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, in contrast to that, explains the condition of the kuffar, that on the day of Qiyamah, these kuffar will begin hating their own selves. They will begin abhorring their own selves, and they will curse themselves when they will see how foolish they were for not accepting the message of Haqq in the dunya, with the result that they have to see the consequences of their evils on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala says concerning them that an announcement will be made to them, that the maqtullahi akbaru min maqtikum anfusakum if tud'auna ila al-iman, that today how much you are hating yourself and abhorring yourself, more than that in the dunya when you were called towards iman and you refused to accept because of your pride and stubbornness, Allah Ta'ala at that time hated you even more than what you are hating yourself today. Allah Ta'ala abhorred you more than that. In the when in the dunya you were called to towards iman, but you rejected. Further on, Allah Ta'ala again describes the conditions of the day of Qiyamah. All people will be clearly brought forward to in front of Allah Ta'ala. Nobody will be able to conceal anything from himself, from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will call out, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. For whom is sovereignty and kingdom today? And Allah will, Allah Ta'ala will reply, it is only for Allah Ta'ala, the One and the All-Powerful. And on that day, this announcement will be, Allah Ta'ala says, each soul will be retributed according to his actions, and nobody will be wronged in any way. Where a person will be unjustly punished for something he might not have did, this will never happen. Allah Ta'ala describes this day, that this day will be a day when the hearts will be by the throats. It will be so frightening and terrible, and people will now be suppressing their grief, and they will be swallowing their grief and their conditions. And Allah Ta'ala says, but for the zalimeen, there will be no helper, and there will be no intercessor whose intercession will be accepted. Allah Ta'ala then mentions, Allah Ta'ala knows the treachery of the eyes. Allah Ta'ala knows those who secretly cast lustful glances, everything concerning the eyes. Allah Ta'ala is well aware of that. And Allah Ta'ala knows what we conceal in our hearts, though whether it's beliefs, whether it's thoughts, whether it's inclinations, anything to do with the condition of the heart, Allah Ta'ala is well aware of. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make a dua, which similar words as mentioned in this verse here. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make this dua, actually teaching the ummah that we should also make this dua. Allahumma tahhir qalbi minan nifaq. Oh Allah Ta'ala, purify my heart from hypocrisy. Allahumma tahhir qalbi minan nifaq wa amali minan riya, and my actions from show. وَعَيْنِي مِنَ الْخِيَانَةِ, and protect my eyes from treachery. فَإِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. The same words which appear in this verse here. Then Allah Ta'ala mentions that it is Allah Ta'ala who will then pass judgment on the day of Qiyamah with complete justice. And those that these people ascribe as partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not be able to pass judgment in any way, because they were just false deities. Allah Ta'ala then invites men that travel in the earth and see the consequences of those nations which were proud and haughty. They were much more stronger than yourselves, O people of Makkah, and they left much more landmarks on the earth in the form of their massive mountains which they used to carve, massive houses which they used to carve out from the mountains, etc. But Allah Ta'ala seized them because of their sins and their evils, and there was no one to protect them from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala invites men to travel and see for yourselves. These signs of the punishment are still evident on the surface of the earth, and up till today, the ruins of all these nations are still there for people to see with the eyes of taking lesson. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of many of them, makes mention of the incident of Musa alayhi salam. And as mentioned previously, the incident of Musa alayhi salam and his encounters with Fir'aun and his own nation also, the details of it are mentioned practically everywhere in the Quran Majeed. However, one aspect of the incident of Musa alayhi salam is mentioned here, which is not mentioned anywhere else in the Quran Majeed, and that is the story of Rajulun Mu'minun min Ali Fir'aun, a person who brought Iman from the family and nation of Fir'aun himself. His incident is mentioned here. For that reason, one of the names of the surah is also called Suratul Mu'min, because of the incident of this person who brought Iman. And when Fir'aun and his people were plotting to harm and kill Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, then he advised them that, are you going to kill a person just because he's saying my Rabb is Allah? He's not accepting Fir'aun to be Rabb. Fir'aun made that claim to be a Rabb, to be God himself. And are you going to kill him just because he's saying my Rabb is Allah Ta'ala? And he has brought clear signs and proofs to prove his nabuwat. Then also you want to kill him? Even if he's, if on the assumption that he might be an imposter, then he's speaking lies, and his evil will be upon himself. But what if he is truthful in his claim that he is a Nabi? Then if you try and harm him, then what he is telling you and promising you of the punishments of Allah Ta'ala if you don't accept the Haqq, will afflict you. And in that way, how are you going to save yourself? In this way, in different ways, he then tried to explain to them. Fir'aun also, he realized that this person's words could have effect on his courtiers, his people, therefore, in a mocking way. Then even he told, but he refused to accept, and he told his advisor, Haman, that built for me a very lofty mansion, so that, in a mocking way he said, that I can now climb up right on top there and find the road and highway leading to the skies, and I want to go and peep there myself. Is there a God, which Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is claiming that there is Allah? Thus he did in a mocking way. Allah Ta'ala says that in this way, the evil of Fir'aun was beautified for him, and not only himself, refused to accept Haq, but he stopped others also from accepting the message of Haq, and in this way Allah Ta'ala says that he was completely destroyed. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala mentions many of his great creations also, in which there is great manifestation of the power and qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether the skies, the earth, the livestock, how we Allah Ta'ala has created it for our created them for our benefit. All this has been mentioned. The next surah, Surah Sajda, Hamim As-Sajda, because a Sajda ayat is mentioned here, that is why it is called Hamim As-Sajda. Allah Ta'ala mentions the greatness of the Qur'an Majeed, Kitabun Fussilat Ayatuhu. It is such a kitab that its verses have been elaborated, have been clearly mentioned, whether they are with regard to beliefs in meanings, the stories which are mentioned in the Quran Majeed, the incidents for taking lesson from, warnings, glad tidings, or whatever had been mentioned, Allah Ta'ala says it has been clearly mentioned, so that, and it is in the Arabic language, لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ, for people who are of understanding. So people now, if they read the Quran Majeed with an open mind, definitely the message of Haq will reach them, and they will have no excuse whatsoever. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the nations of before also, that despite them receiving the message of Haq, but because of the arrogance, particularly the nation of Ad had been mentioned here. They used to say, Man ashaddu minna quwwa? Who is more powerful than us? This type of words we hear by some nations today also. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like this. And Allah ta'ala says that the one who has created you, he is more powerful than you. Don't forget that. And how Allah ta'ala sees them with a violent wind, extremely cold, and cold and icy wind, which continued blowing for 7 days, and with the result that they were completely destroyed, and they were floored to the ground like broken logs of trees. They were then completely destroyed. The nation of Thamud also, how Allah Ta'ala seized them with a shriek from the sky, and they were also destroyed. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then mentions further on concerning the mu'mineen, that they are those who say, our Rabb is Allah, and they remain steadfast on this. Istiqamat is an extremely very valuable and great quality. It is mentioned, al-istiqamatu fawqa alfi karamat, that istiqamat and steadfastness on what a person is doing, his iman and his actions, this is even more superior than thousands of miracles. So on them, concerning them, Allah Ta'ala says, tatanazzalu alayhimul malaika, the angels will descend upon them. At the time of their death, the angels will come and they will give them the glad tidings that there is no grief and fear for you. And for you there is glad tidings of Jannah, which you had been promised. We were your friends in the dunya, and also we will be your friends in the year after. And Allah, and they will tell them that for you in the year after there is Jannah, that what your hearts will desire for, and what you want, all will be granted to you. This is nuzulam min ghafurir rahim, hospitality from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is most forgiving, most merciful. Allah Ta'ala then reminds us that the best word of the person who calls towards Allah, his best word is the word of those who call towards Allah Ta'ala, who give da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do good actions. And in the path of calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most definitely a person will be confronted with conditions of hostility, opposition and harshness. Allah Ta'ala gives the advice, اِتْفَعْ بِلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَرَةُ وَلَا. Good and evil are not equal, and repel evil with that which is good. although it is permissible to take retribution for an evil with an evil according to the method of justice, but the preferred option is that don't repel evil with evil, repel evil with virtue. And the effect of that, Allah Ta'ala says that that person whom between you and him there is enmity, he will become your bosom friend. It will change enmity to friendship when now when you repel evil with virtue. Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning those people who make ilhad in our verses. Ilhad is a hypocritical type of iman, where a person confesses to have belief in the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he gives such meanings to these verses which are contrary to those meanings which are recognized and accepted by the majority of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is what is called ilhad. Allah Ta'ala says that those who make ilhad, who give false interpretations of our verses, these people are not hidden from us. We know what they are doing, and they will be taken to task for whatever they had did. And towards the end of the verse, para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that this Quran and Majid, if we had revealed it in a language not of Arabic, as one of the demands of these people was, that why is he not bringing a Quran to us not in the Arabic language? Then we will believe him to be a Nabi, because he is an Arab Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knows only Arabic. Why doesn't he bring a Quran which is of another language? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that a'jamiyu Arabi, then if it was so, then your response would have been that what's this? The message is in a non-Arabic language, and he is an Arabic. How does he expect us to understand? So this was just a ploy by them, and a reason to justify why they are not accepting. In any way, they had no will to understand. Allah Ta'ala says, know this Quran and Majid, for the believers, it is a source of guidance and shifa. It is a cure for all our spiritual as well as physical ailments. But these people who don't bring iman, Allah Ta'ala says, in their ears they are props. They, as if now there is something blocking the truth from going into their ears. That's why they are not accepting. And they are like blind people who, despite having eyes, but they don't seem to see what is the haqq, and that is why they are not accepting.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qala an-Nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La ilaha illallah wa la yasbiquha amalun wa la tatruku dhanban. Rawahu ibn Majah. Hazrat Umm Hani radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu farmati hai, حضرت ام ہانیہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ فرماتی ہے کہ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ لا الہ الا اللہ سے نہ تو کوئی عمل بر سکتا ہے اور نہ یہ کلمہ کسی گناہ کو چھوڑ سکتا ہے. نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has said, no deed can excel the recitation of لا الہ الا اللہ, and this kalima lets no sin remain unforgiven. نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has said, no deed can excel the recitation of La ilaha illallah, and this kalima lets no sin remain unforgiven.